Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. And happy summer solstice. This is not, I always get a little bit sad at summer solstice because it's drooping. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. I hurt its feelings. Okay. Because the days get longer and longer till the summer solstice, and I love daylight. And starting today, that starts to, you know, yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. There's a few reasons why I'm giving this talk. In fact, in pretty much all the New Thought churches, there's a lot of talk about the divine feminine and, you know, the sacred mother and such. But I have never, in the length of time I've been here, had heard anybody talk about the divine masculine. And it struck me that there's a reason for that. And I think that because people underneath are often annoyed by the masculine, it's because we've been through millennia of abuse by men who have conquered and taken over and done all kinds of things. And that's just socially and individually. So many people have been abused by men, or in their families, there's been someone who's been quite abusive. And often that was a male. And this is not the divine masculine. You know, this is the toxic masculine. And I'm really hoping and praying that as we enter into the age of Aquarius, we see a balancing of the masculine with the feminine. And I think I'm seeing it. I'm seeing evidence of it. Tell me, are y'all seeing evidence of the divine feminine rising up to some degree? Let me know. Are you seeing it? I'm seeing it. Not as much as I hope will occur. And that's going to bless the masculine, because whenever the two come together, they are in their strongest. So it's going to be good all the way around when we see the yang with the yin blending. And we're in need of that healing, socially and individually. Lots of us grew up, and I'm speaking for myself, fearful of the masculine. And that has resulted in anger. I've seen throughout my life women who have rejected their beautiful femininity because they were abused. And so they picked up some of that masculine as a defense mechanism. But whenever that happens, it's never the divine masculine. When it's a defense mechanism, it's always the toxic masculine. So we're all in need of some healing. And it's not just women. Clarify that. It's not just women. The reason that men pick up the toxic masculine is because they were abused. And I could speak for that personally. There were only two men in my life when I was growing up, my father and my uncle. And both were just examples of the toxic masculine. And when we have had no positive role models for healthy masculinity, quite often what happens is the toxic masculine takes over. And until recently, I haven't seen a great number of healthy men in public life that can be an example for us, that we could pattern ourselves after. But for full healing, for complete healing, socially and individually, we can't run from the masculine. And I think that's, I've seen that in many people's lives. The goal must be for health, social health and individual health. There has to be a blending, an integration, a complete integration of both the divine feminine with the divine masculine. There's I found a quote by a lady named Esther Harding, who said, if any human being is to reach full maturity, both the masculine and the feminine sides of the personality must be brought up into consciousness. And it's not an easy thing to do. For me, in creating this last newsletter and doing this talk, I'm finding a lot of healing within myself of the divine masculine, because I had run from it. Actually, my father was an intimidating person, tried to be very intimidating. And that's the way he kept people pushed back. And I grew up disliking him, angry with him, and running from the masculine. After he died, I was talking to his sister, my aunt, and talking about the abuse that we had experienced when we were growing up. And she said something I won't forget, something very beautiful. She said, not to justify his behavior. She said, but in order for you to understand, when his father got finished beating him, we would have to take his clothes out into the backyard and burn them. What a background for having to develop defenses. And the defenses that he built were the toxic masculine. And that's all I saw. So that's why I ran from it, until I came to understand that there was another side of the masculine. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, one thing that I want to clarify is, in everything throughout this talk, we are not talking about male, female gender, okay? The divine masculine and the divine feminine reside in each person, whether they're male or female, whether they're gay or straight, none of that makes any difference. So when we're talking about the divine masculine, I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about something that resides in every person, including all women. These are archetypes. And I won't go into the definition of an archetype, but essentially it's like a force or a power that permeates all things and resides very deeply in our consciousness. And those archetypes can become corrupted. So there needs to be a healing of archetypes within us. And one of those archetypes is the masculine. If we work toward awakening our healthy divine masculine, lots of good stuff is going to happen. Oh, and I need to do a disclaimer. When I did the newsletter this last month, the two articles that I found said exactly what I wanted. They were just right on the nose. And so a whole lot of what I'm saying today is right smack out of those two articles. Okay. So if you don't have the one that I emailed, ask me and I can email it again, or I've got four more paper copies back in the back. These are the things that will occur as a benefit if you awaken the healthy divine masculine. One is, you gain better confidence. You gain an enhanced ability to be objective and rational. You improve your critical thinking. You improve your analytical skills. You gain emotional balance, because if you are heavily weighted toward the feminine or the masculine, you don't have emotional balance. You got to have both. You get reconnected with the warrior within yourself. We'll talk a little bit more about that. You gain an increased ability to set strong boundaries. Very important. You gain more assertiveness skills. You gain an enhanced willpower. You gain improved self-discipline. And you gain mental clarity. These are things that are blessings as you enhance the divine masculine within. And so if it's important, let's talk about ways that you can awaken the divine masculine. One, look at yourself and examine the wounds that have been caused by toxic masculinity in your life. And begin working through them. Start taking complete and full responsibility for yourself. That means no blaming, no victimhood, no waiting to be rescued. Reclaim your warrior self. Another one, gain a contact with your inner father. And here we're talking about the archetype. Here we're talking about that spiritual force within you. We carry each one of us that archetype within us, and it's benevolent, it's kind. It's the universal father. And I'd lost touch with it because the only men in my life were totally toxic. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I've lost that anger that I have toward my father. I see him now as the kind person that was underneath that toxicity. I won't go into that too much, except I already did. Okay. Another one is to deconstruct our conditioning. And what I mean by that, look at the ways that our concept of masculinity has been skewed or poisoned. Such concepts that enter our mind, like men shouldn't cry because it makes them wimpy. Men have to be stoic and not express their feelings. Men have to be successful in their career. They can't have failures. Men must be the head of the household. And it's not to be shared with anyone else or their partner. Men have to be interested in sports. Turn on a football game and you're going to see me burning my tennis shoes to get out of there. Men must dominate women physically and sexually and in their career. They have to be the CEO. Men are expected to be aggressively self-confident and never vulnerable. Men have to look strong and they have to be muscles and they have to have muscles and they got to be big and tall. If they're frail and if they're frail or small, well, that's not a man. Tell me, at any point in your life, did any of those concepts ever enter your mind? Even if you had to eliminate them later. Boy, they did me. They really did me. So how do we go about redefining those images of a healthy man? One thing that's important, to find a masculine teacher or guide that you admire. Come up with one in your mind and walk your life with that person in your mind. Whether that person is past or present, whether they're alive or dead, what's important is that you learn from those role models in order to embody or express your own divine masculine. Okay, so like, who are some people that you can think of that were public figures, male public figures, that you admire, that you think stood for what masculinity should be. Anybody you can think? See, if I said, tell me some women.
Gandhi.
Thank you.
Who? I didn't know you were asking a question, Bill.
Yeah, I am. Oh, okay. So, like, who are some of the? Repeat who? What she said? Gandhi.
Right. Nelson Mandela.
Absolutely, Nelson Mandela. Anybody else? Okay. He was a strong guy. Okay, great. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Sunshine. Who?
Bernie.
Bernie. Yes. Yes. What a good man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was a good guy. Pops, yeah, who was here and died a while back. You know, if I asked you, tell me some good women, I could come up with loads of them, but it's harder for me to come up with the men. And I think it's because we have been inundated for millennia with toxicity. But I think the ones you mentioned are very, very much so. Anybody else who can come? Yes, ma'am. Jesus. Strong. Solid. Yes. Compact.
Like the TV character Alan Alda played on the
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know who actors really are inside, but we can talk about the character.
The character.
That we've used.
Yeah. Yes. And I think a lot of it has to do with the men who played in there were strong, including Klinger. I mean, he dressed like a woman, but underneath that, he was this wonderful man. Yeah. And he took care of so many people. I mean, whether he did it in high heels or not, you know, which looked fabulous on him, by the way. And another important way that we can redefine our image of masculinity is to get in contact with our inner warrior. Our inner warrior will support and protect you. Doesn't take any bullshit from anybody, but when he's defending your rights, he will do it peacefully and assertively, not aggressively. The inner warrior values truth, courage, and inner strength. To redevelop or to develop that inner warrior, things that I could suggest would be to get assertiveness training. So many people confuse assertiveness with aggression. Once you understand the distinction between aggression and assertiveness, it's going to change your life. So get some assertiveness training. Get involved in martial arts. Do some vigorous exercise. Get out and do camping or hiking to the extent that you can. Learn to set solid boundaries. If you're not good with boundaries, one suggestion is just get online. There's loads of websites that help people learn how to set boundaries. I didn't really know I had an inner warrior because I'd run from the masculine so much. And one day when I was in Oklahoma, living in Cushing, I was walking down the street with my dog And this is the one that died a couple of years after I got here, a little Italian greyhound. And he ran, he was, you know, walking on the sidewalk, and he walked over on the grass, and he went up to the side of this porch, and he hiked his leg and peed on the side of the porch. And long story short, this man that was half my age and twice my size came barging out of the house and started telling me all the different ways he was going to kill my dog in front of me. And it might sound funny, but it wasn't. It was far from it. I was mad. And this thing just happened. I charged him and I never touched him, but he was terrified. I backed him up against his house and I just kept screaming, "What did you say? What did you say?" And the next thing I knew, the cops came by and broke it up. And I later on, I was like, "What the hell was that?" Well, that was the inner warrior. And it came out again here in Franklin. A guy did exactly the same thing with another dog, with my littlest one, Gino. Yeah, Gino ran up to him and wagging his whole body, wanting to be petted and put his feet up on him. And the guy reared his foot back, and I won't repeat what he said. It was filthy. And I just freaked. It just popped out. And I charged him and made it clear that I would hurt him if he touched my dog. And the next thing you know, we were out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a little teeny dirt path, and a guy drives up that knew both of us. And he yelled and said, "Doug, get in the car." And not this Doug, sorry. Like that's a, he would be the anti-Doug in this case. But he got in the car, and you know, I don't see myself as an aggressive person at all. But it's there. It's inside everybody. Get in touch with that person. Some other suggestions might be just, you know, how you stand, how you present yourself. Try to stand in a confident way. Feel the difference, how you feel between when you're slumping, you know, and when you stand up with your shoulders back. A healthy posture will help change your self-image. So you got the idea now that we're not talking about male versus female, right? That every woman in the room can do every one of those things, all right? Now, this next part that I want to get into can get confusing. And that's because when I talk about envies, I'm talking about the traits of the divine masculine. As I discuss each of these traits of the divine masculine, I am both talking about how a male would be, or how the masculine within a woman would be. And then it also talks about how that divine masculine would function as it approaches its divine feminine. Okay, that would be like how you could act as you approach Nancy, or how an individual would relate to their divine feminine. It's either, it will, you know, what I'm talking about will cross either direction. Am I making myself clear? Is that just totally psycho? Making sense? Well, plus it's a little psycho. Okay, whatever. Okay, so one of the first traits is the divine masculine is responsible. The divine masculine takes care of himself, and then he also seeks to assist and help other people in their responsibilities. If something's coming up that needs to be done with someone down the street, the divine masculine will be responsible, not just for himself, but seek to reach out and help others. And as the divine masculine approaches his divine feminine, whether that's within himself or in a relationship, he reaches out to help her in her needs and her growth. But he doesn't do this because he sees her as helpless or needy. He recognizes the strength of the feminine, and he sees that helping her creates abundance for both of them as they join together as a unit. Okay? Does that make any sense? Okay. First one is responsibility. Second one, the divine masculine is vulnerable. As the masculine and the feminine bond, their sharing is deep and he's willing to take risks. The masculine may not understand the feminine totally because they're two separate things. The feminine thinks and acts very differently. And even though he may not understand fully the feminine, he's willing to stay open to her in her different thought processes. And in that process, he grows stronger as a result of his vulnerability as they bond. He'll take a leading role in their sharing and offer his vulnerability when it's right for their union. This making sense? Okay. Good. Now, if I get too weird, or you know, this is ethereal stuff, so it can go like that. And if it does, just throw something at me, but not rotten vegetables. Okay, we'll stop there. Divine feminine. We set boundaries as the masculine. So there we go. The divine masculine is adventurous. He loves to come up with fun things to do to keep himself new and lively. And then he likes to share those adventurous things with his feminine counterpart. And that's where you might run into trouble sometimes. People say, what? But, you know, he's going to do that. He's the guy that likes to stir things up. This shows also that he's thinking about her enjoyment, and he desires to bring those things, those adventurous things, into her life for her well-being and her excitement. He takes pleasure in the surprises that he'll bring into her life. They might be entirely new adventures that he's dreamed up, or they might be new ways that he's showing her how she can do things, maybe in gardening. And that's to keep the relationship fresh, and it's to keep himself fresh, moving and alive as part of the divine masculine. He's courageous. And that's part of that. Now, this can go awry too, but by nature, men are risk takers. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but men are the ones that, like, you know, they're not going to stop if somebody says, oh, be careful going up the ladder. You know, they're probably going to go up the ladder anyway. By nature, men are risk takers, but that also can come as a bad thing, because they can get themselves in trouble doing that or taking risks that they shouldn't. But by nature, the divine masculine is a risk taker. And the goal in doing that is not to win or overcome, but it's the masculine's need to move forward and keep going, and risks are necessary when you do that. If he faces a challenge, that challenge is not just for his mate, so he can become the knight in shining armor in his courageousness. It's not the need to be the savior. That's part of the toxic masculine. First of all, the divine masculine would know that his mate can take care of herself. He would respect the feminine. He does it so that the two will become stronger as they join together as a unit. Is that making sense? Okay. The masculine is solution oriented. he interacts with the world, desiring to solve problems, both of his own and for others. And he seeks to assist even his divine feminine. Now, here's a problem I run into, because this is where my masculine gets me in trouble. I am very solution oriented. And, you know, here I was a counselor for all these years. And somebody who is getting in touch with their feminine comes in and starts expressing all kinds of troubles and problems, and they're crying and, oh my goodness, this is awful. And boy, I just bingo go right. Okay, well, this is what you can do. You can do this, 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 and fix yourself. And I'm giving the solutions before the person who's expressing the feminine in front of me has had a chance to emote. And, you know, I know it when I do that inside, they just want to go look at me and say, shut the fuck up, you know, and let me cry, you know, but that's part of the divine masculine, which is to be very solution oriented. Hopefully when he does this, it will not be offering solutions right away to take away the growth needs of his divine feminine. Maybe she needs to deal with those issues herself, and she's perfectly capable of doing so. So sometimes the divine masculine needs to back off. But when help is truly needed, he will be there with solutions, and she can be there for him as well. Okay, another thing. The divine masculine is logical and thinks in a logical way, uses logic and reasoning to ground dreams into reality. And by the way, I'm doing a lot of reading on this because the wording that I put down there that I saw was so beautiful, I thought, I don't want to lose it. So forgive me for reading some of this. The divine masculine will focus on tasks in resolving issues that arise using logic and reasoning. As he interacts with his divine feminine, he knows that she's not helpless, but rather what he wants to do is to draw out from her own masculine energies so that she can move her own dreams into fruition and get them grounded. Making sense? I'm looking around, make sure I didn't lose anybody. Okay. Divine masculine is protective. He is the guardian of all that he loves. He seeks to create justice and fairness in the world around him. His protectiveness goes beyond his divine feminine. It goes into protectiveness of children, animals, anything that he sees that is in need of protection, other divine masculines who are in need of help. But he does not overextend his protection beyond what is needed at that moment, because being the savior, again, is not his intent. That would be part of toxic masculinity. Another thing, the divine masculine is grounded, sensible and wise, energetically connected to the earth's core, so that he can present, or rather so that he can be present, and so that he can be oriented within the structures of the material world. The divine masculine is very much into structures and using those to heal what's around him. By being grounded, he's able to ground his divine feminine, helping her to remain connected to the material world, because this enhances them both in manifesting their dreams into physical reality. And this can only occur if he is grounded. The divine masculine is giving. His energy is toward providing for those around him, for accumulating what is needed and distributing that to those that he feels responsible for. His feminine then will receive so that she may do what she does best, and that's to nurture those around her. This doesn't mean that he must always be the giver, because she is also able to produce. This is about unique energies of the two as they blend and bond and become one, which is the goal. The divine masculine is leading. He leads within his community. And again, this is not to control, but leads from a place of love and caring. And rather than seeking dominance, the divine masculine believes that he believes in his own ability to reach out and bring out the leadership within others around him. He positions himself in a point of strength to bring out leadership abilities, particularly within his divine feminine. If the divine feminine brings out her own leadership abilities, it will be different. For her, it will be rooted in creativity and in intuition. But as long as he stays in his own place of structure, stability, and action, then he's going to be grounded as a leader himself. This is making sense. You can see the difference between the two. And lastly, I would say the divine masculine is a boundary setter. He sets clear boundaries within himself and for his divine feminine, as well as everyone else around him as needed. He knows that he is unable to control people, but he can control himself, and he responds to the actions of others by setting boundaries. This creates an atmosphere of security and stability with both his mate and everyone else around him. And I love this phrase that this lady used. She said, like a furnace in the winter, the divine masculine provides the structures and security of a home. That, for some reason, really resonated with me. This provides a sacred space where the two counterparts can flourish and unite with one another and with their higher power as well. Do you remember when Lisa gave her talk on Mother's Day? Lisa Ezard? Yeah. Do you remember her up here giving her talk? I thought one of the things she did I thought was so cool is she talked about traits of the femininity, of the feminine in nature, to recognize how it's a universal reality and not just something grounded in the female. So I did a little bit of research, and I thought some of these were so cool, of ways that the divine masculine is evident in the world around us and in the natural world. Male marmosets care for and nurture their offspring from the very moment of their birth, which is crucial for their survival. And he does this more so than the female. Another thing is, even though marmosets don't mate for life, the male marmoset, once he has offspring, he won't respond to any female around him who goes into estrus. He stays totally focused on the young until they reach maturity, before he will go find another mate. Now, this one is, to me, is kind of mind-blowing. Female seahorses deposit their eggs within the male's body, in a pouch. He fertilizes those eggs, and he keeps them safe, and he nurtures them, keeps them healthy until they hatch within his pouch. And then he remains faithful for life to his mate. this is kind of an interesting one. The male rhea, a rhea is like sort of like a smaller ostrich, builds a nest for his mate. She lays the eggs in the nest. He sits on the eggs. He incubates the eggs. And when they hatch, he cares for the young while the female runs off and goes finds another mate. There you go. We just call her ostrich. Maybe her name should have been Rhea. A spotted sandpiper. The female lays her four eggs, always four, in a nest on the ground and leaves them entirely to the care of the male. He incubates the eggs. He fully cares for the young. Again, while she runs off and finds another mate. Male, how many of you guys watch nature shows? Oh, they're so cool. It's that and sci-fi, that's all I watch. You've probably then seen the pictures of the penguins in Antarctica. The male penguin nurtures the single egg by holding it on his feet in the most bitter, the most cold, and the most dark places on the planet, like Antarctica in the dead of winter. And he does this while the female goes and hunts for fish. And out of necessity, he totally fasts this entire time in this entire process, never eats, but just cares for the egg. And now this wasn't in any of the things that I read, but yes, ma'am. He can't move. Yeah, he's got to just like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this I've seen on TV a few times, that some fish, when the female lays the eggs in the mouth of the fish, of the male, and the male holds the eggs of the fish within his own mouth until they hatch. And once they hatch, and all this time he can't eat. So he has to fast this whole time. And then when the eggs, they hatch and come out, they stay around the male. And he protects them until they grow older. And if danger comes, he opens his mouth and they all run back in his mouth. I think that's pretty cool. So if you think about it, the masculine and the feminine did not begin in us humans. The masculine and the feminine are part of nature. The divine masculine and the divine feminine. They're part of nature all around us. And then as we evolved, the divine masculine and feminine became part of us. It's balanced in nature. So now it's our goal to understand what this force really is and to seek to balance it within ourselves and within society. Happy Father's Day.